Hey, First Things First listeners, before we start the show, I wanted to tell you about our brand new Fox Sports app and website, foxsports.com, reimagined for the modern sports fan. Go ahead, download the new app right now. You don't even have to pause this episode. Every day on the new app and website, you'll see the top stories in sports, plus a rich world of written content, videos, social media, and analytics to give you a 360-degree view of the most important stories of the day. Streaming live TV has never been so easy or elegant. Every Fox Sports game, including all pregame and postgame shows, as well as the televised version of this show, just a click away. For the extra invested fan, we also go deep with real-time wagering lines, trending prop bets, win probability, and key player projections. So download the new Fox Sports app or visit www.foxsports.com. Now let's start the show. It's hard to imagine the Texans can't find a way to make things work, but Deshaun was left on the outside of the team's GM search, and the team was somehow not all in on his preferred coach candidates. Thus, Deshaun is now reportedly not returning the Texans' phone calls. Yeah, but did you try texting or DMing? Maybe Wilds Bird can deliver a petition. Either way, they cannot get in touch with him. Brandon, you are way ahead of this story. Here's what you said last Wednesday.
So Deshaun Watson is looking at this thing and saying, well, I don't know if I'm comfortable here. And there's other players like Dwayne Brown stepping up and saying, I wasn't comfortable there. This is a big story, and I think this is just the beginning, Nick.
All right, Brandon, that was last week. So now today, as we sit here this morning, has Deshaun, in your opinion, played his last game with the Houston Texans?
Absolutely. We will never see Deshaun Watson in a Texans uniform again. There's two things here that you got to look at. One, you got to think about this organization and how they play, the role they play or have not played when it comes to social injustice and just being leaders in the community. They have shown you who they are, right? Time and time again. So when you look at that during these times, 2020, racial tension soaring, talk about it all the time. How do you have a black quarterback and you handle these situations this way? And then on the other end of the spectrum, you look at the football team, it's like, why should he come back? You trade away my best player, DeAndre Hopkins. He goes out and have an all-pro, Pro Bowl-type year. And then you look at the offensive line. They're just okay. And then on the defensive side, you really don't have anything over there. So if I'm Deshaun Watson, I'm looking at the situation like, this is my time to get out for those two reasons. Ownership is a mess. And then on the field, we have no clue what we're doing. We have no GM. We have no head coach. Now, obviously, they're going through, they're doing their diligence and trying to fill those gaps. But at the same time, this is not a team that can go out there and compete next year. This is a team that is 3-4 years away when you look at their salary cap and you also look at what they have in the draft, which is almost nothing, Nick.
Yeah, so I agree with almost all of that. But if I'm the Houston Texans, the only thing I have is Deshaun Watson. And so if I'm going to trade Deshaun Watson, I see people are tweeting me like, hey, could the Patriots get him for 3 first-round picks? No, you can't. Laremy Tunsil went for 2 first-round picks. Jamal Adams went for 2 first-round picks. Jalen Ramsey went for 2 first-round picks. I wouldn't trade Deshaun Watson for all 3 of those players. That's 6 first-round picks. So Wilds, I am going to create a new marketplace. I'm going to try to be an innovator here.
Let's hear it.
Here is the trade
for it
that San Francisco or whomever should offer. It's never been done before. You give us Deshaun Watson. We give you our first round pick every year he's on the roster in perpetuity.
Is that allowed?
So as long as he's our quarterback... That sure you could until like we trade or cut him ourselves, you get our first round pick.
Yeah,
if you want to put an expiration date on it of 2029 where it caps out at 9 first rounders, fine. But that's the trade. That's the only trade I would consider if I were the Texans. Otherwise, you can't get fair value. So you want Deshaun. I want your first round pick every year he's on your roster. The moment you decide he's not worth it, you cut him and your obligation expires. You no longer owe us anything. But if he's your quarterback, we get your first round pick. Otherwise, there's no value here.
Terrible,
the whole point of the draft is to try to find a franchise quarterback. Deshaun Watson is 25. Everyone's like, oh, you know how old Lamar is? You know, everyone's like, everyone compares him to Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow's 24. Deshaun's 25. You can't trade this player unless you are getting franchise-changing equity, Wilds.
I love it. All right, so I've got my own offer. I think the Jets need to make the Bizarro Godfather offer. Here's why I'm calling it the Bizarro Godfather offer. Think Michael Corleone at Lake Cuomo, and you got that corrupt senator in there. Mm-hmm. Senator's Nick Casario at this point. Casario, you can have my offer now if you like. My offer is this. Everything. Everything you want. Whatever you want. Look in the Jets draft capital, suitcase, and you can take it all, including the gaming license, which I will pay for personally. Because here's what's happened to the Jets, Brandon, and you can get your carrot top, bag of props ready. The Jets went from, hey, should Trevor Lawrence skip the NFL draft and stay in Clemson, or should he just pout his way somewhere else? To Deshaun Watson last night going to a Nets game and making a full-on music video set to the Diplomats' I'm Ready. If you have, I cannot imagine a more obvious signal to New York media than Deshaun Watson making a music video to the song I'm Ready, Brandon. To get Joe Douglas, who is a huge Diplomats fan, I've heard, the big heads up and like, hey, buddy, I'm ready. Come and get me. So to me, Joe Douglas needs to make a Bizarro Godfather offer, anything you want.
Listen, it doesn't get more New York than this. I mean, this dude literally took a page out of Paid in Full. What is Paid in Full is a movie released in 2002 with Mekhi Phifer.
That's the car from Paid in Full.
Of them being in Harlem, 100%. So this dude is telling you exactly what he wants. He wants out of Houston.
Let's go.
And he wants to come to my Jets, 100%. I absolutely love this move by Deshaun Watson. But, Nick, I want to go back to you quickly. This is bigger than just football. So when you talk about getting value and going through the different scenarios, I disagree with you. If it was all about football, 100%, I think it's hard to get a deal done. But now we're talking about an organization going back 4 years ago when Colin Kaepernick took his first knee and how they botched that situation with Dwayne Brown and what the owner said.
Brandon.
Right? So this is bigger. Go ahead.
I agree with you. I agree with you on that entirely. Sorry for interrupting you. And for the audience that doesn't know it, I was down there when that happened. I was down there. I lived in Houston. I covered the team. That's what I did before I worked for Fox. So I know how far back this goes. And I understand for Deshaun, it is deeper than just football. What I am saying, if I'm the Texans, you are the only thing between you and total irrelevance is Deshaun Watson.
That's their fault.
If you are giving him up. I agree with you. I agree with you. But he can't trade himself. And so if you're giving him up, I just think if the return is three first-round picks, they butchered this. Like, will be Nick Casario. Yeah. It'll be grand opening, grand closing if that's the return.
And
That's exactly what's going to happen. When they made the decision to trade DeAndre Hopkins, when they made the decision to say, look, we're going to have you in this meeting and a part of this process, and they went to the other end of the spectrum, they made that decision that they were going to tear up their entire organization. Deshaun Watson is not going to play in Houston again, and now they have to deal with that for the next 10, 15 years. That's on them. That's on ownership for being exactly who they are.
I agree with that.
And by the way, back page of the post, whatever it takes, what W.A. Watson? Guess who liked the picture? One, Deshaun Watson. He's all in on Brandon Marshall's take. Time for Knicks NBA medals. Steph Curry had a game-high 26 as the Warriors rallied from down 14 in the fourth to beat the Lakers. But what? Steph missed out on the medal stand? How is it possible? Nick, who are the three players that did more than Steph Curry last night?
Yep. Great second half by Steph. By the way, the Lakers didn't lose one game all year last year where they led heading going into the fourth. They've now lost twice like that this year. Something to watch. Silver or bronze medalist is where we should start. Zach LaVine, he's an all-star this year. He's been outstanding. He's scoring 30 seemingly every night. Zach LaVine gets a bronze medal in a win over the Rockets. Silver medalist. Listen, nobody likes the guy anymore because he hasn't produced in the playoffs. Giannis! My guy Giannis.
Not
34, 12, and 7.
Oh, your guy.
And a loss to the Nets. Yeah, I love Giannis.
Big loss.
My large adult Greek son. He's not actually my large adult Greek son. And the gold medalist of the evening. One James Harden. A fellow national television personalities. Word to the wise here. You are telling on yourself with your tweets about, oh my gosh, James Harden's changed his game. No, he hasn't. Oh my gosh, James Harden, when he's a willing passer. Guys, he's led the league in assists before. Every time you send one of those tweets, it's like, oh, you never watched a Houston Rockets game. Am I right now subtweeting my friend Chris Hayes a bit? Just a little bit, but he's not the only one. So, folks, James Harden gets a goal. He is a spectacular offensive player. It was a very good win for the Nets last night. There you go, Brandon. I give a gold to your guy, James Harden.
And that's two nights in a row, so you might as well just commit to saying that this is the team to beat in the NBA. That's 2 days in a row that our team, Harden and KD, was sitting at the top. Mm-hmm. So just make the commitment, Nick. It's okay.
He won't do it.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Listen, if this were make it, take it, I think they'd be the huge favorites, Jenna. Unfortunately, it's not, and you got to get stops, and it's going to be a problem.
By the way, James Harden laying off the Gatorade, looking pretty good now that he's here in Brooklyn. But I assume, Wild, somebody missed the cut, in your opinion.
No, I'm saying Kevin Durant. Well, rarely seen tough guy, Kevin Durant. Because Giannis does kind of a cheap move. It's like, I hate tailgating when Trae Young does it. I hate when Giannis kind of gets in the way. It's a little bit of a moving pick. Tough guy, Kevin Durant. Excellent work. You know what it is, Nick? It's that grit. It's that Brooklyn grit that we're seeing. We're no longer in Silicon Valley anymore.
And we don't play
Brooklyn grit. Oh, I love it.
That's not defense.
We don't play defense. We're not a tough team.
All couldn't bust a grape in a fruit fight, Durant. Come on.
We gotta change sports back to the NFL. Hey, can Josh Allen and the Bills avenge their Week 6 loss to the Chiefs? Stakes are raised on Sunday. That is next. It is First Things First.
What's up, First Thing First listeners? It's your boy, Shay Sharp, co-host of FS1's Undisputed. I wanted to tell you about my new podcast, Club Shay Shay, where we always do something before two something. Each week, I sit down with a guest for a drink and conversation, and as host and proprietor of Club Shay Shay, I welcome in esteemed guests such as Snoop Dogg, Floyd Money Mayweather, LeVar Ball, Isaiah Thomas, just to mention a few. Whether I'm talking to an athlete, a musician, an actor, or a lifelong friend, Club Shay Shay is a place where people share inspiring and motivational stories about their journeys to prominence. The new episode drops every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to Club Shay Shay now and make sure you never miss a new episode. Now, back to First Things First.
Back here in First Things First, and we've got some breaking news to pass along. According to a report, Phillip Rivers is retiring from the NFL. Phillip Rivers made 8 Pro Bowls, but of course, never able to win the big one, the Super Bowl. Nick, I'll start with you. Is Phillip Rivers a future Hall of Famer?
All right, so congrats, Phillip Rivers. Wonderful career, but this is going to be the conversation. And if Phillip Rivers is a Hall of Famer, then evidently all it means in the modern era to be a Hall of Famer is just be, you know, somewhere around a top 10 quarterback and you'll make the Hall of Fame. Because Phillip Rivers, if we put him in, Matt Ryan must be in. Matt Ryan's going to finish with the same numbers, if not better. He has an MVP. He's been to a Super Bowl. Matt Stafford then says, what about me? My numbers look amazing. If you're going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback, I need you to at least check one of these boxes. Were you a great playoff performer, or did you have a period of time where you were either the best quarterback in football or at least on the short list of the best or second best quarterback in football. Rivers checks neither. And I know his counting stats are spectacular, but he's got 5 career playoff victories. Oh, Nick, you can't hold that against him. I kind of can. I watched those Charger teams with LaDainian bleeping Tomlinson, an all-time great player throughout his entire prime. You, Philip Rivers, you have LaDainian next to you, and you make one conference championship game. And so do we live in a world where, as you know, in 2015, 9 starting quarterbacks were future Hall of Famers? Brady, Breeze, Peyton, Eli, Ben, Russ, Rivers. I'm leaving a couple out that would also make the list. I got to look real quick. But Rodgers, pardon me, that now we're at 8. So I don't think he's a Hall of Famer. I don't think he struck fear in the hearts of the opposition the way quarterbacks of his era did. And I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, Brandon. I don't.
Wow. Nick, you're so wrong here. I mean, you got to think about it. This could potentially be, he probably played in the greatest quarterback era ever. So when you talk about that Chargers team, I was on the other end of the field. I was on the opposite end. I was over there seeing him and Jay Cutler yell and scream at each other on Monday Night Football. I was in those battles. I saw him throw to Vincent Jackson. I saw him throw to Floyd. I saw him throw to Antonio Gates. He was phenomenal. But then when you think about this and this criteria that you put in place, you got to say, well, he also had to go against Tom Brady. He also had to go against Peyton Manning. He also had to go against Ben Roethlisberger in one of the greatest Pittsburgh Steelers defense. He also had to go against the Baltimore Ravens and Ray Lewis, some of the greatest defenses. The AFC back then was loaded, not only with the defensive guys, but also some of the greatest quarterbacks ever. So it pains me when we have these discussions around the Hall of Fame because the criteria is way too high. And I say it's way too high is because there's been over 150,000 NFL players come through of this league. Over 150,000. I don't know the exact number. The NFL has been around for over 100 years. So when you see a guy with everything I just said, and then he finishes top 10 in touchdowns and yards, he has to be considered. Now, is he first ballot? I don't think so. Does he have to wait? Probably so. But we need to change our approach, Brian, around this Hall of Fame thing, because it's extremely hard to not only make it to the NFL, but to stay in the NFL and play at a high level for 15 plus years. The injury rate here is 100%.
Yeah, Brandon, I think you're right. You know, but I do think that the criteria should be high. We're talking about the best of the best. You're talking about the Hall of Fame. We're talking about better than everyone else. And I think, Nick brings up a really good point. And you have to win playoff games to be considered for the Hall of Fame. And Brandon, you laid it out kind of perfectly. You're talking about Breeze. You're talking about Manny. You're talking about Brady. Yeah, you have to beat those guys because those are Hall of Fame quality type of players. And Phillip Rivers just didn't do that consistently enough. But yeah, he put up numbers. We understand that. But some of those numbers are just hollow numbers. You're running up numbers against teams that weren't very good. You have to win in the playoffs. Oh, you have to win championships, or at least be in the conversation for championships. And to Nick's point, I don't know that when you talk about the postseason play, that Phillip Rivers struck any fear as far as going far in the postseason, opposed to when you compare it to Breeze, Manning, Rivers, Eli, you talk about Big Ben as well. Yeah. I mean, those are the guys that you're worried about when you start the season, and not so much Phillip Rivers. But when you think about all the talent that he had on that football team, they should have been good for a very long time. They just didn't achieve to the level that I think they should have achieved.
Go ahead, Brandon. Then I'll jump in. Go ahead, Brandon.
So why don't we put teams in a Hall of Fame? Why don't we put units in a Hall of Fame? This is not a team award. This is an individual award. They fired his coach went 13-3. Right. So I need to expand this conversation.
So here's Brandon. I think I'm gonna let me jump in real quick because I think I'm gonna say something that'll resonate with you. I don't want the Hall of Fame to start looking like the league MVP award. The league MVP award has turned into best quarterback. And if we simply, if Phillip Rivers, who for the majority of his career was not at any point one of the 4 or 5 best active quarterbacks, Then all of a sudden, you only let five guys in a year. Andre Johnson, a guy who I know you know, Brandon, have massive respect for, I have massive respect for, is going to have to fight tooth and nail to get into the Hall of Fame. There is a point in time where he was the best receiver in the league. Brandon Marshall is going to have to fight tooth and nail to get in the Hall of Fame. You were first team all pro. And the fact of the matter is, people, we can't lower the standard for the quarterback because we talk about them so much. Five guys get in a year. And if you were never close to league MVP, you never had a magical playoff run. The reason you weren't going on these runs is because great Hall of Fame quarterbacks were beating you. To me, once you open that door, Matt Ryan has to get in then. And Matt Stafford is a couple playoff victories away from getting in then.
Well, let me push you back on your first point, Andre Johnson. So why does Andre Johnson have to fight tooth and nail to get in? How many quarterbacks did he have? Did he control the roster?
I agree.
You are closer to it than I am. Because you were there, you covered the Houston Texans. But why does he have to fight tooth and nail? This dude had so many quarterbacks. He was in an organization that was rebuilding and reloading year after year after year. But Andre Johnson is one of the most dominant wide receivers that league has ever seen.
I agree.
He's 6'5", 225 pounds, and runs like he's Chad Ochocinco.
Best receivers in his era. He was that's what he was, one of the best in his time.
Yes.
Phillip Rivers wasn't ever considered one of the best in his time, the best in his era.
Donovan. If Phillip Rivers gets in, Donovan McNabb's got to be saying, the hell's going on here? Like Donovan McNabb has a better postseason resume, has more of those accomplishments, had to go through a gauntlet as well, and nobody says he's a Hall of Famer. I think Rivers probably gets in, but I don't think he should, Jenna.
Well, let's end like this. Congratulations, Phillip Rivers.
Yes, I was going to say congratulations.
Also congrats.
Great season for the 8-time Pro Bowl quarterback, Phillip Rivers, retiring from the NFL. Take a turn, talk some Patrick Mahomes. If he suits up Sunday, could he break out the behind-the-back pass? We'll preview this weekend's action next. Brian Westbrook, thank you as always.
Hey, First Things First listeners. It's Charlotte Wilder here to tell you about my new podcast with Mark Titus called The People's Sports Podcast. It comes out every Thursday, and Mark and I take one of the big stories of the week, and then we go off on tangents you never saw coming. This might mean that we start talking about the Dodgers winning the World Series and end up wondering if Knicks fans deserve happiness, or begin with LeBron's greatness and end up drafting our ultimate beer league softball team made up of old athletes. Whatever it is, the only rule of the show is that it has to be fun and funny, because these days we could all use as many laughs as we can get. So check it out wherever you get your podcasts and come down weird sports rabbit holes with us. We can't wait to have you. Now, back to First Things First.
Welcome back. We're talking some AFC Championship now. And how about this for a little thing I like to call offense? Four of the NFL's top six scoring teams are in action this weekend. And nobody but Pinto Ron would have predicted the Bills would average more points than the Chiefs. But here we are. And here we have Josh Allen saying nothing changes for his unit on Sunday. He said, quote, this is a big one, to win the game, you've got to score more than them.
That's right, baby.
Thank you, Josh.
Coach
Mangini, AFC champion multiple times over. Good morning. Good to see you. Let's ask you, what offensive approach gives the Bills the best chance to pull off the upset of upsets over the Chiefs and thus upset Nick?
Well, with that sage wisdom from Josh Allen, but what he means is that obviously as explosive as they are, you've got to figure out a way to try to match their points. But that can be a very dangerous approach. And I've been in situations like that where you're playing teams that have scored record number of points. I remember the greatest show on turf in the Super Bowl, our first Super Bowl. We could have easily gone into that and said we're going to chase points, but we didn't. And these games unfold in strange ways. And oftentimes when you're chasing points, you take chances that, you know, may or may not work out, and then you give these explosive offenses extra opportunities with the ball, and you also put pressure on the offense to do things that can be a little bit out of character. So I don't think that's the way they want to go. And they realize that, or I'm sure Brian Daboll realizes that, the most important thing they can do is try to slow things down for Josh, to try to make it as comfortable as possible for him, especially early. KC's going to pressure. There's going to be multiple looks in the way that they pressure, and incorporating some screens.
Like Nick agrees.
The running game, quarterback-driven runs, easy completions, maybe vary the running game so it's some wide receiver sweeps, things like that. Maybe incorporate a little bit of what looks like hurry up, but really isn't hurry up. You give that impression, but you're really using the whole clock. Got to push those guys and make Kansas City feel uncomfortable, off balance, and don't chase their offense, because then you can make mistakes and you don't want to be in that spot.
Coach. I don't know if you've been watching sports television the last few months, but this whole question is being asked backwards. Jenna's acting like the Bills are some massive underdog. They're 3-point underdogs. You're acting like the Bills have to be worried about the Chiefs' offense. No. Aren't you aware? Josh Allen's the MVP candidate, not Patrick Mahomes. Stephon Diggs is the best wide receiver in the AFC, not Tyreek Hill.
He is good.
Cole Beasley is the great slot option, not Travis Kelce. The Bills have the best offensive line, not the Chiefs. The Bills have the most dynamic offense. Wyle's been telling me they won 12 in a row. If you remove the loss, it's a fun thing. You remove the loss and they've never lost a game. So no. Buffalo, sling it, baby. And by the way, in defense of that strategy, this whole let's everyone strategy for 3 years, one team has successfully done it. The Colts midway through last year when Mahomes was hurt and Tyreek Hill didn't play. Mahomes has only lost 9 times since Texas Tech. Show those losses if we could quickly. They all have something in common except for the Colts loss. You know how you beat them? Go score 35. People aren't beating this team 21-14. So listen, Josh, you're the MVP. You're the best young quarterback. You have the best offense. You have the most dynamic offensive coordinator. Forget Bieniemy and Reed. It's all Daboll and McDermott. Forget Mahomes and Hill. It's Allen and Diggs. So, Brandon, this is their chance. Go sling it around the field. Beat them the way the Rams did, 54-51. Because that's the path. And guess what, Bills? You've got the guy to do it. You've got the league MVP, I was told. So go to Arrowhead and go score 40, because that's what you're going to have to do.
Nick, Patrick, I love you guys, but y'all losing this week, buddy. I'm telling you. And boom. Josh Allen basically said it, and I don't know if I agree with it, but he basically said, to win the game, we got to stay the same. What does that mean? Coach, 10 personnel. You're going to see 4 wide receivers on the field, 1 running back. That's what they do. Cole Beasley, he runs the same route over and over and over again. He's in a slot and he's running option routes. Stephon Diggs, he has the entire route tree open to him. We need Gabriel Wilson. We need Brown on the other side to come up and make big plays. Coach, I'm concerned. I am a little concerned. Brian Daboll, you fell in love with Coach Daboll in New England. You hired him as your OC in Cleveland. He ran the ball 1 time. It was 1 call run play last week. Are you not concerned that he just leans so heavy on what they do well?
Well, first of all, I'm concerned about Nick's sense of woe is me that he's got going, because his Kansas City Chiefs aren't being respected enough, and Patrick Mahomes isn't being respected enough.
Nobody believes
that. Must be so hard for you to deal with that,
it's
Nick.
True.
I'm sorry to hear that. Here's what I'll say about Brian is Brian understands complementary football. Brian understands doing whatever you need to do in a game to win that game. And there's a lot of offensive coordinators that are going to do what they do because it may help them get their next job. It may help them increase their profile. It may be what the players are clamoring for if you have a star player. But Brian's about complementary football. He's gonna incorporate a plan that works for the defense and special teams. And he learns. He learns from mistakes that he's made. I can't imagine that he would run the ball anywhere near as few times as he did last time. if anything, it's going to be a change of pace. It's going to be making Josh Allen as comfortable as possible going into the early part of the game.
Yeah, well, Coach, I hate to drag you into this, and if we can put everybody on screen, I have to air out some dirty laundry of something weird that's going on with our researcher, Dusty. And I like Dusty, and I thought he did a good job for, like, most of the year. But I think, guys, he's really fallen off because he's been making a ton of mistakes. He said there's four teams left. The top four scoring offenses are in this order: Green Bay, Buffalo, Tampa, and then Kansas City. So hold on, they have the worst offense of everyone playing this weekend? That's not right. Yeah. What are we doing with this? Why is he still on the staff? He said that the Kansas City Chiefs only scored 22 points against the Browns. Dusty, they only scored 17 points against the Falcons. These are just errors that Dusty can't make.
Right.
And then he said they scored 22 points against the Broncos. I'm like, Dusty, Katanik, we have to do something about this guy, because this has got to be fake information, because they score 50 points a game and they're unstoppable.
I'll address all that. First of all, you only had one semi-factor there. I guess you're talking about the Broncos game, the second one. Because the first one, I think they scored is 40-something. We can check. They played twice.
Yeah, okay. No, the more recent one.
The Falcons game that you keep hanging your hat on is when the Chiefs already had the one seed locked up. In the Browns game, they lost their quarterback to injury early in the third quarter. But I agree with you, which is why. Are we talking about getting Aaron Rodgers into a rhythm, making sure he's comfortable? No, because he's awesome. So Josh Allen, you're the MVP. That's what I've been told. The odds say you are the second most likely to win MVP behind only Aaron Rodgers. Mahomes is the best I can tell, the worst quarterback remaining. You have Rodgers, the MVP, Allen, the second MVP, the GOAT, Brady, and Mahomes with that crummy offense. I mean, they're 25-1 his last 26 starts, but does that really count? So, no, the Chiefs need to worry about keeping up with the Bills. It's definitely true, and that could be the Bills' approach. I agree with you, Wilds.
Right.
It's smart. You don't sound ridiculous at all.
We obviously all need to recompose, reshuffle, recollect, and then get back to business.